Welcome to Clint First Baptist Church Adult Bible Study for March 22nd. I'm David Moline, and if I seem a little bit nervous, because I have not done things like this before, so please bear with me. We will be looking in the book of Romans in chapter 3, and the lesson picks up in verse 21. If you have the literature, please be following along. I'm actually going to start with a quick look in verse 20, where it's written, "Therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin." The law was set up by God to show man what they should do, what they shouldn't do, how they could become right with God. Problem was, you break any part of the law, you've broken the whole law, so you're not right with God. And a bigger problem became with people's attitudes. They would go through the motions of the law, for example, sacrificing a great many animals, but their heart was never wanting to be right with God. They were just doing things to please other people, doing things with the attitude of, okay, I've done this, God, now let me move on and do what I want to do. Kind of an attitude. And therefore, they were not right with God. Now looking in verses 21 and 22, where the lesson begins, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." One of the things we do have to remember is righteousness comes from God, not from us. Our sense of self-righteousness is just a deception and a sin and keeps us from wanting to be right with God. We have to remember, my righteousness has got to come from God. And God has set it up now that we can have that righteousness with Him, that being right with Him, apart from the law. Not throwing the law out, but basically fulfilling the law. And verse 21 tells us, the law and the prophets, in other words, the Old Testament, all point to this. It all points to Jesus Christ being the provider of our righteousness. It is our faith in Jesus Christ that gives us any righteousness. If we want to be right with God, it has to come through Christ. There is no other way. And that is open to all who believe. All who want to be right with God and turn to Jesus Christ will find that righteousness. It is open to everyone. And moving on, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. All have sinned. Many people fool themselves thinking, you know, I'm fine with God. I'm not really a sinner. Anything I've done is not that big a deal. I'll take care of it. Whatever the case may be. The simple fact is, all of us have failed God, either by doing things we shouldn't do or by not doing things we should do. That little word all means just that, every single human being. We fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of being able to be with God in heaven. We fall short of having a full relationship with Him now. We fall short of being what God would want us to be. And no matter how hard we try to do it, we will not succeed. If we could, God would have simply said, follow the law, and that would have been it. Paul, the author of this book, strove for many, many years to completely follow the law. And then he was finally shown by Christ that no matter how hard he tried, he could not in and of himself be right with God. He fell short of the glory of God. All of us do. But in the good news, in 24, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We are justified by God. God is the one who says, yes, you may enter my presence, you may enter my heaven. Not by our own works, not by our own goodness or righteousness, but by God saying, I justify you. I make it to where you can come into my heaven. You can come into my presence. And he does that freely, because we couldn't afford the cost. If God had said, here's what you have to do to work your way to heaven, every single human being would fail. So God says, I'll take care of that. And I am giving it to you freely. That is because of his grace, his loving kindness and mercy toward us. And that comes through Jesus Christ. Now we show our faith in Jesus Christ by the way we live our life. We freely receive the salvation that Christ offers. But we only receive his salvation when we make him our Lord. Being our Lord, he saves us. It's not an option of, well, I'll take his salvation, but I won't make him Lord of my life. If he's not Lord of your life, he's not your Savior. So, we receive that redemption through Jesus Christ being our Lord. God presented him, Jesus Christ, as sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because of his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies the man who has faith in Jesus. Under the law, animals were sacrificed. The families helped in that sacrifice. They watched the sacrifice and the shedding of the blood of that animal onto the altar to pay the price of their sin. And God finally had a point of saying, you might as well stop sacrificing these animals because your heart isn't in it. You're just going and killing animals and you're not even thinking about your sin. You're not caring about me forgiving them. So it's basically a waste of time. So he sent his son to become the one who would redeem us. He is the one who would become the atonement, the one who would make things right between us and God. And it is our faith in his sacrifice that does cover our sin, does remove our sin from God. If we are not having faith in that, fully trusting that Jesus Christ, his sacrifice for us, will take care of my sin, then our sin isn't taken care of. And we can't have a relationship with God in this life, and we will not be in His presence in the next. Now, God had let man kind of try to work things through in His patience and His knowledge of man and what we're like. He did let sin go unpunished at that particular moment. He let people have the opportunity to try to work it out. But He hit the point in His perfect plan of sending Jesus to show us that He is just. He is right. Jesus came to take care of the sins of mankind. And the only way we are going to be justified in the eyes of God, the only way we will be right, to have righteousness, is through faith in Jesus Christ. And it is not faith in Jesus and something else. Faith in Jesus and my own works. Faith in Jesus and some other God. It is faith in Jesus and Jesus alone that saves us. Jesus Christ is worthy of all of our worship. He is worthy of all of our trust. He is worthy of all of our faith. He and He alone. So Paul then asks in verse 27, where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. So what can we boast about? Nothing. I've had people over the years tell me, oh, you taught middle school special ed, you'll go to heaven for that. Or you've been a foster parent, you'll go to heaven for that. Or you've done this good thing or that good thing, you'll go to heaven for that. And my response is, I'm going to go to heaven, but not because of that. I will be going to heaven because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not for any good works that I have done. One of the things we have to remember is the uniqueness of Christianity is in our look, our view of good works. Every other faith, a person does good works in order to earn their way into God's presence, however they see that. In Christianity, we already have the way to God's presence because of what Jesus Christ did. We do good works to help others find Jesus Christ. Our good works are not to help us. God has already taken care of that through Christ. Our good works are to help others find Jesus. So we have nothing to boast about in our salvation. Jesus Christ took care of that. And we were not saved because of the law or an interpretation of the law or anything that we have set up. No, we were saved by faith, putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through our walk on this earth, we should be repeatedly showing to ourselves and to others our faith in Jesus Christ, how we truly do trust in Him, that we aren't trusting in our job and our bank account, we're not trusting in our medical insurance, we're not trusting in our earthly family, we're not trusting in our own wisdom or ability, we're not trusting in anything of that, but we're trusting in Christ. When bottom line, He is the one that will carry us through this life, and He is the one that will be bringing us into heaven. Paul says in verse 28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. And remember, Paul, when he was Saul, was an adamant observer in the law. He knew the law completely. He followed every bit of it. He was, as he said, a Pharisee among Pharisees. And then Jesus Christ got a hold of him and showed him that he was trusting in self-righteousness and his own good works to get right with God, and that that would never accomplish anything. And as he became Paul, he put his full trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you read through the book of Acts and these other letters of Paul, you can see how over and over and over he demonstrated his trust was not in himself, but was in Christ. Paul asks a question in verse 29. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. And that's a very reassuring verse to me, because as far as I know, I have no Jewish ancestry in me. So God is telling me, yes, you're a Gentile, but you know what? My Son will provide for your salvation as well. For all people. God is the God of all. He does not exclude anyone. People will exclude themselves because they will refuse to trust in Him. But that is on them. God has it open to them. They are refusing to go through. In verse 30, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. There is one God. We know that the one God is in a Trinity. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But it is one, as it's often said, one Godhead. They are united as one, but have the separate personalities that we recognize. There is that one God who will justify both the Jew and the non-Jew. And once again, we have to remember, we need God to justify us. For instance, we would be standing ready to go into heaven. And the question would be, why should you be able to come in? We would not be able to claim good works. We would not be able to claim anything of ourselves, because we have all sinned. Heaven is a place of no sin. Any sin at all would keep a person out of heaven. And once we sin, we can't get rid of it. That's why Christ came. He gets rid of that sin. So we are justified. In other words, why should that person get to go into heaven? Jesus Christ saying, because I say he can. Because I have atoned for his sin, so therefore, in the eyes of the Father, he is sinless and may enter into heaven. We are justified by the works of God, not by ours. And then Paul asks in verse 31, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. The law was designed to help people be right with God and be right with one another. It was to help people see that when they failed God, what they needed to do, but also see how they were failing God. When they failed one another, to see how they were failing one another. And what to do about it. Once again, people chose to ignore parts of the law and only follow certain parts, which is breaking the whole law. Or they would go through the motions of repentance without really meaning it in their heart. They were being like the little child who, when they're told to tell someone they're sorry for hurting them, And it's the word sorry, kind of an attitude. And you know they didn't really mean it. God knows our hearts. And he knew that people were going through the motions of what the law said without really meaning it within their hearts. The law was to show what man could be with God. Our faith in Jesus Christ accomplishes it. It fulfills the law. And then he asks, because they would ask about Abraham at the beginning of chapter 4, first three verses. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was right with God. That's why God made him the forefather of his people, starting with the Jewish people, and then all the Gentiles grafted onto that family of faith. Was Abraham boasting about his great faith? His great... No, yes. Was he boasting about his great works? No. What the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God. Abraham trusted God. God had Abraham doing some things that really didn't make a lot of sense at the moment in human reasoning. But God was trusted by Abraham. Whether Abraham understood it or not. And that is where the righteousness with God came from. Abraham was willing to do all kinds of things because God said to. Whether Abraham got it or not really didn't matter. His trust was in God. For us, God will want us to do things that we won't necessarily understand why. It doesn't seem to make sense. It's something that's frustrating, something that is annoying, something that we just don't really want to do. And God says, if you truly have faith in me, if you have truly put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will do it. That becomes our test. When we say, yes, I have my faith in Jesus, those are easy words. God will give us opportunities to prove it by giving us difficult situations. But that's why Christ came. Whatever the law, whatever life may throw at us, Christ is there for us. He sent us the Holy Spirit. And if our trust and faith is truly in Him, we will handle whatever it is we need to handle. Not because of ourselves, but because of Christ in our life. And that will conclude the lesson.
Is it the only first Arkansas-based baby food company, but the mom who created it says all the ingredients come from Northwest Arkansas farms.
I was working for a local television station as a broadcast news reporter. And then I met Dave.
And her whole world changed. Somebody invited me to Seattle just to learn about church planting for 3 days. Really instantly got gripped by this sense of lostness and darkness. Yeah, it's really just well known for a lot of new age, kind of Eastern religion. But if God's called us to this place, he's called us to plant our lives here.
We did feel like God gave us a great affirmation and a sense of peace for this particular spot for us to do his work. I just began going to a local park and I would meet rooms and just talk. That really set the groundwork for building these relationships that became friendships. Mm-hmm. And then we began meeting in our home. And then it grew. And then we made two groups.
Yeah.
And then that group.
God really opened up doors at the community center.
And so when we got there, we met in one little room in the community center. And then we took the doors, you know, the sliding doors, and we met in two rooms. And then last fall, we moved to the gymnasium.
Yeah, we have anywhere from 75 to 95 people on a Sunday morning. So it's exciting. It's thriving.
When people give to missions, it may seem like this very generic offering, but it turns into very significant things that we can utilize to better help us do our ministry and our work here. I was a journalist, I was a news reporter, and those things defined me. God stripped all of that away, and so it taught me to find my identity in Christ. Because when we came up here, I didn't feel capable. You know, like Jesus and the fishermen, he was like, come on, call you, be fishers of men. It's truth. Mm-hmm. And when we are able to just share that truth with people, it literally gives them hope.
Giving to your local church should be easy, and with Tithely, it is. Just download the app and securely register your credit or debit card. You're done. Now you can give during church services or anywhere else. Use Tithely to give a one-time gift or set up recurring donations. It's that simple. It's fast, secure, and easy to use. Tithely, the simplest way to give to your local church.